Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Knowing the doctrine, 2. We know that knowing the doctrine allows us to adjust our heart and actions, and it also allows us to note when something does not fit. This is an important approach because it infuses into us salvation wholeness through grace. It also does the same for anyone who's willing to listen to us with their heart. And 1 Timothy 4:16 points that out, as we noted last time. Timothy was to pay attention to both himself and the doctrine because it produced the right fruit. It brought salvation wholeness to himself and to those that heard him. The doctrine is the teaching of that word. It says in 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul says to Timothy, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." So Timothy was to pay attention, give attendance to reading, whether it's out loud or just reading to himself. But the reading is supposed to produce something. It's supposed to produce the exhortation, which is the encouragement, the comfort. It's a word that means to call aside. Well, what was Timothy to be called aside from? The world. The reading inspires within us a calling away from the things of the world. It comforts and encourages us. Then we're ready for the doctrine, the teaching. It's a beautiful pattern. As doctrine is noted in the word, the emphasis seems to clearly be how it is characterized, not necessarily defined, but characterized. And what does it produce? We develop our spiritual palate, if you will, like a master chef can taste a recipe and know whether the combined ingredients are properly blended. They're mixed in the right order, the right proportion, by the result that he gets or she gets. It has the right taste, it has the right consistency, the appearance, the temperature for serving, etc. So the chef has proven through experiential knowledge the right result. Well, this is like knowing the doctrine, how the word of truth is mixed together in the heart, produces that sound or good doctrine when it's taught. The doctrine, the teaching, is faith-based through grace. Faith-based through grace. It will give God the glory as the source of the doctrine and accentuate Christ as the agent of that doctrine. And then we are the recipients of this grace, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith." So do. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. It's another way of describing his accomplished work through grace. That faith is what gives God the glory, because he's the one that initiated this plan that Christ carried out. It was God's will, God's heart of grace to bring salvation to mankind. Now, the end of the commandment is charity, which is the word love, out of a pure heart and a good conscience, and faith, there it is again, unfeigned. Faith unfeigned is without hypocrisy. You say what you mean what you say, just like God does. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. They missed the mark. They moved away from the faith. And they turned aside, which means to wander off, kind of drift. They just wander off from the faith. And where do they go to? Vain jangling, empty talk, And with the empty talk, they become, verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They don't know what they're talking about. See, then it lists a whole category or categories of unrighteous behavior. And we get down to verse 10 at the end, and it says, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, the sound and healthy doctrine is contrary to legalism, the teaching of the do's and the don'ts for an acceptance before God in terms of your value. That cannot be right. That's not the sound and healthy doctrine that we're interested in. The faith of Jesus Christ keeps us within the grace of God, and it absolutely gives glory to God. But what ends up happening is when people wander off, what they end up doing is they desire to be teachers of the law and tell everybody what to do and what not to do in order to be accepted by God. Can't be, because we are accepted through the work of Jesus Christ. And see, this stuff gets really subtle, though. I know that some of these truths might be, in some people's thinking, very fundamental, but it's important to understand them so we can identify when it's not right. Look at 2 Timothy 4, please. 2 Timothy 4. In 2 Timothy 4, here's another casualty of wandering away from the faith. Verse 3. For the time will come, 2 Timothy 4:3, when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. And this word endure means to hold oneself erect and firm. But really, in the sense of the way the Hebrews thought, what this meant was a posture of listening. You know how when people listen, they sit up, they pay attention? That's what this word means. They won't sit up. They won't stay firm and erect and pay attention. They will not do that when it comes to the sound doctrine. Well, what do? But after their own lusts, so their own passion, their own desires, not God's will, their own, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, more myths, people just making stuff up. See, the itching ears is just, they're in pursuit of people that will teach things that they want to hear, that agree with them. One translation puts it, to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold. Another one says, to suit their own passion. They're not looking for God's will. They just want to satisfy their own will. Another one says, saying just what they want to hear. They keep looking when the truth is right in front of them. You know what it reminds me of? When Paul was in Athens on Mars Hill, it says in Acts 17 that the Athenians would spend all their time, these academics, these intellectuals would spend all their time doing nothing but to tell and to hear a new thing. That's all they did. They spent their time almost hyperventilating for the next new thing when the truth is right in front of them. That's what happens. Look at Titus, please. What else can we learn about this teaching, the doctrine? Verse 9 of chapter 1 of Titus, it says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, sound, healthy, brings wholeness to your life, doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Those are people that are prone to legalism. So the sound doctrine has the potential to appeal, to encourage, to comfort, and to refute those who speak against it. Because it's sound. It's whole. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou of things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, which is love and patience. There's faith again. We can speak things that actually complement and fit beautifully with the doctrine. A simple question. Does it give glory to God when you hear something? That would be grace. Does it agree with the finished faith of Jesus Christ, where it says in Hebrews 12 that he was the founder and perfecter of the faith? Does it fit with his completed work? Or are we still adding things to the work of Christ? Or we're still abstaining from things? Nothing wrong with doing things or abstaining from things, but not to receive the grace and not for your value as a person before God, which as a son of God. Not for your value. That's a good, great question. Look at back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says in verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. That's something we can continually be on behalf of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, good ministers of Jesus Christ. How do we do this? We're nourished up, or we're educated in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And the word attained means to follow closely. You pay attention. But refute profane and old wives' fables, more people making stuff up. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Godliness is a piety or a respect and loyalty to God. The sound doctrine goes hand in hand with a respect and a loyalty to God. That is, there's a place in our heart that is for God only. He's number one. And the sound doctrine is what encourages us. Those words of faith that educate us, that's all combined. Look at Romans 16, please. Chapter 16. When the doctrine, the teaching of this word is not really living, you're going to have divisions and you're going to have stumbling blocks in the Christian community. Meaning people are going to separate out into little cliques and exclusive groups in a negative way. And they're going to put stumbling blocks, things that people can trip over in people's way when the doctrine is not understood and taught. Now here in Romans 16, it mentions that Paul is asking the believers there to greet or salute, which means to kind of bring to yourself or to embrace many of the believers. In fact, it mentions this 17 times between verses 3 through 16. So he's expressing great love for these people, even though he hasn't been to Rome at this point. Then he notes about 27 people named with various details. Why is this important? Well, it notes in Romans that the faith of the saints of Rome was spoken about throughout the whole world. That's right. They must have had quite an impact. So Paul was concerned that people would kind of infiltrate into the church and then the doctrine would get diluted. We can see that. Look at verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren. He's calling them brothers. He's calling aside like a family meeting. He says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them. That means pay attention to them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Pay attention. It doesn't say that they're teaching division or they're teaching offenses. It says that they cause it. And the divisions are like dissensions, carnal thinking, works, legalism, people forming exclusive groups within the Christian community and not for positive purposes. And then what else happens is they cause offenses. Offenses are stumbling blocks, things that people trip over. Like one example would be a respect to persons environment, where people are promoting kind of like a hierarchy that God didn't set up, just kind of some respecter of persons type of environment where people get the glory. And then suddenly what's implied is the work of Christ is not complete. Well, you still have to do this and you need to do that and do that. There's nothing wrong with doing good works, positive things on behalf of the Lord. Absolutely right. But it's not to get into heaven. And it certainly isn't to be accepted of God, because we already are. And it's interesting that they do this. It's contrary to the doctrine. And the word contrary means alongside. It's right alongside the doctrine, but it's not the doctrine. They do it right along with it. It's like almost parasitical in its approach. It feeds off the doctrine, but it causes divisions and causes offenses, stumbling blocks. And the spiritually adept palate can discern that, can identify that fruit. That's right. Because we want to preserve the purity of the doctrine. Verse 18, for they, the ones that kind of come close to the doctrine alongside it and cause divisions and offenses, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ or our Lord Christ. So it's not about service. What is it then? If it's not about service, then what is it? Well, but their own belly. That means selfishness. It's about them. And by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. There it is. That's why we learned last time we are to charge some to teach no other doctrine, 1 Timothy 1:3. Because the right teaching will eliminate these divisions and these stumbling blocks, because it's faith-based through grace. God is the source. He gets the glory. Jesus Christ is the agent of this plan, and we are the beneficiaries, the recipients of it, with Christ in us, the hope of glory. See, whether these people know the doctrine or they have swerved away from it, it doesn't really say, but they come alongside the doctrine. They nuzzle up to it, and then they cause these issues. And it's because basically they're selfish, carnal people. Let's close in John 7. This is something we read last time, but it bears repeating. Jesus Christ being questioned about his teaching, he says in John 7, verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. It doesn't mean he hadn't made it his own. That's not what it means. He means he's not the source of it. God is the source. But his that sent me, that was God. God sent him. If any man will do his will, if an individual is pursuing the will of God, not their own will, they're pursuing the will of God, look what it says here. He shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own will, but he that seeketh his glory, God's, that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. What an amazing understanding. As we pursue the will of God, which means we are going to have to let some things go in our life at times where, you know, the will of God is for us to move forward with his grace and not hold on to the past and so forth. When the doctrine isn't there, in the absence of the doctrine, there's going to be divisions and offenses. They definitely arise. What you'll have is you'll have some people that seek, having itching ears. They just are just hyperventilating and running here and running there to accumulate teachers that already agree with what they think. And it promotes legalism and works, not grace. The doctrine is faith-based through grace, which gives glory to God as the source, and certainly as Christ, the agent of this whole plan. He carried it out. And then we benefit as the recipients of this grace, because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. The doctrine will encourage, it will comfort, and it will refute those that speak against it. And we can speak words that complement it. We are educated in the words of faith to be good ministers of Jesus Christ. And in so doing, as we pursue the doctrine through the will of God, it promotes a respect and a loyalty to God. So Timothy was to pay attention to himself and to the doctrine. And this will bear great fruit in our life. Salvation, wholeness to us as we walk day by day, and to all those that hear the doctrine. Thank you.